What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Dolphins in Depth podcast. I'm Daniel Yafusi. That's David Neal, and we are back again to talk your Miami Dolphins. A quick reminder, if you have not done so already, make sure to subscribe to the Miami Herald YouTube page, like, share this episode, comment. Definitely want to hear, read your comments below. If you have some questions, drop that too, and we might even answer them on a later episode. So we are back after the first about 2 weeks of training camp. Your Miami Dolphins are getting ready to start a pair of joint practices with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Wednesday and Thursday ahead of their preseason opener on Saturday in Tampa. And we're just inching closer and closer to the 2022 season. We've got a lot to talk about, but I wanted to start out with the release of the depth chart on Monday, the highly anticipated depth chart. You know, it's everything is covert and locked down in Miami Gardens. So we're only allowed to tweet so much in terms of, you know, who's practicing where and first team, second team. But the Dolphins finally released their depth chart. You know, I think that this time of year, a lot is made of the depth chart. And you know, we can talk a little bit about that. You know, there was some interesting stuff like Preston Williams, who hasn't played at all really in training camp, being listed as second team. But David, I wanted to go big picture as you kind of look at this roster as a whole. You know, where do you feel good about this team and where are you a little queasy? I'm not liking that. Am I liking it?
Honestly, despite what I said last week about, you know, just always waiting for the other shoe to drop on the Dolphins' foot, the other cleat to drop on the Dolphins' foot, overall as a roster, it's probably as good as I've felt. I mean, you know, I think the Dolphins look as good as they have in a very long time.
You're our historian, so
you know. I'm talking way back, like we went way back.
So how it's the best roster that you've seen since when? You know, I've seen some people say since 2012-ish, the last time. Well, they were in the playoffs 2016, but back in 2012.
Yeah,
there's people saying since the 90s.
I'm going to go back farther. I'm going to go like to 2001 or so.
Oh, that's the last time.
That last playoff year, maybe before, right, the year before that Wanstead, you know, era where they would, you know, get into the defense their way into the playoffs, mm-hmm. you know, eke out a playoff victory and then get gangsta slapped out of the playoffs, you know, and he's like, you know, get out of here, kid. You know, get thrown out by your big brother. I think I look at this roster. Obviously, I think the wide receivers, there's so much potential there. You know, for big, obviously explosive plays, big plays, whatever you want to call them, you know, chunk plays. You know. Yeah. There's that chance for both, you know, the down the field and also, you know, quick hit and a lot of the run after catch. I like that because you lessen the burden on your offensive line, which they've, you know, they've been trying to get that right since the 80s, like Marino's, you know, probably third or fourth year. And so that, you know, that lessens the burden there. I like the team there, you know, at the wide receiver position. Offensive line, I always feel a little hinky about that because something.
Yeah,
always, it's always.
I know they made some additions, but I was going to say that's. Still a little iffy.
And you're talking about a new scheme also with the run.
Yeah,
and that's actually tough. Always tough for offensive lines to come together with a good, you know, with the new running blocking scheme, pick it up, get it going. So I wouldn't be surprised if early on the running game is blip.
It's a little stuck in the mud,
right? And that's gonna come in. That can come into play when it comes to, you know, holding leads, running, you know, doing that 4 minute stuff at the end of the game or into the half, and or just, you know, providing a change up to, you know, all, you know, all the throwing the ball that they're going to do because, you
Yeah.
know, it's 2022 and, you know, nobody runs the ball that much except Baltimore. And
Small stomping grounds.
right. And, you know, so on the other side of the ball, you know, you gotta feel pretty good about, you know, each level. Linebackers are maybe not as crazy about.
But I think they can make do. I know a lot of fans are like, oh, they need to make a big move. They need to get Roquan Smith, who just requested a trade from the Bears. I think that it's not the strongest group of not the strongest position group on the defense, but I think that the sum, I don't know if I'm if I'm make doing the phrase right, but like the sum of the parts, you know, it can be
The
greater than
whole
the
is greater than the
whole.
sum of the parts.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I had it flipped. But yeah, just because of the different roles that everybody plays. And really, the strength of that defense is in the cornerbacks in the secondary. You know, it's
Right,
like, you
right.
know, we're kind of knocking on wood and seeing what's going on with Byron Jones. But if he's back, I mean, you still have one of the best cornerback duos. You have a great safety in Javon Holland. Really, really, like that's the strength. And then up front is where they kind of do all the exotic blitz looks and stuff like that. So yeah, linebacker isn't the strongest, but I think you can make do without like an elite linebacker. Obviously, it helps, and you know, in coverage and whatnot. But I do think that they're in a good spot, you know, overall on defense and even at linebacker.
Right.
But you said it. I mean, the skill position players, I mean, they have an abundance of talent. I mean, we didn't even I haven't mentioned it yet, but you know, if you didn't hear, the team just recently traded Adam Shaheen about, you know, an hour over 90
Hour
minutes
ago,
ago.
right.
Yeah, they traded him to the Houston Texans, and they got back, and they also sent a seventh round pick in 2023, and they recouped a sixth round pick. But that just spoke to like the abundance of talent that they had on the team. I mean, he was listed on fourth team tight end on the depth chart behind, I guess, Mike Gesicki, Hunter Long, Durham Smythe. You know, there's reports from Sports Illustrated that they're talking about trading Preston Williams, who, you know, was like a revelation as an undrafted rookie a couple of years ago. Lynn Bowden, who everyone was really excited about. Everyone was saying that this is the perfect offense for Lynn Bowden. And shoot, I mean, those two guys can't get any reps. And now they're talking about potentially trading them. So they're definitely in a good spot. I mean, I think back to last year when Tua was throwing to like Albert Wilson and Matt Collins. I love Matt Collins, a great guy, but like, you know, he's not, you know, that's a top two. You know,
Right.
if he's your top two option, you know, your offense probably has some questions. I mean, he was throwing to Kirk Merritt and, you know, all, you know, Isaiah
Right.
Ford, and these are all great guys, but it's like if you're trying to win football games, you
Right. That's
yeah,
not. It's not what you.
it's not what you
It,
need. It's not what
right. It's
you
not. It's
want
not going to
as a
match up
top two
well.
option.
Right.
Yeah, so for them to now have, you know, obviously with Jalen Waddle and then Tyreek Hill and Cedric Wilson, who I haven't really seen much of him during training camp, but he was one of the best slot receivers in the NFL. And then you have Gesicki, and then you have, you know, the running back. It's like they have like four different options, like legitimate options at running back. So it's crazy to see the turnaround in just one offseason from like an offense that was like such an eyesore and legitimately like one of the worst offenses in the league to now, you know, there's, I mean, I don't know how good this offense is going to be. Like, I don't think they're going to be a top 10 unit over 1 year in the span of 1 year. But I mean, you're looking at an offense that's like, yeah, they could be above average, good, and like explosive in a lot of moments.
I think they can be good enough to outscore what the defense will give up.
And
I mean,
that's all that matters. I mean,
that's all you need. That's all you need.
especially last year, like the offense was struggling to get to like 24. And I was like, thank God for this defense. Cause if they had like the first half of the year, the Dolphins defense was terrible. Second half of the year, it was like a top five. I mean, arguably the best offense like the last eight, nine games of the year. But I'm thinking like if the Dolphins had like a league average offense, they could win like 10, 11 games.
Right.
And we saw them at go to nine. And then I'm like, if the defense, like they were so dependent on the defense to make plays and first turnover, I was like, if the defense has like one slip, the Dolphins are getting blown out in the game because
Right.
they struggle to like score against like the worst teams in the NFL, like the Giants and teams like that.
Right.
So yeah, they definitely done a 180 in a couple months.
This I mentioned this looked like the best roster since like, you know, the 2000s and the Dave Wannstedt years. That's what those teams were like, actually. The Wani years were a lot of defense, not, you know, not a tremendously explosive offense, just enough offense to, get you the win. And you know, they had just enough wins to get in the playoffs, they would get in as a wild card. They'd win that first game, and then they'd go play somebody who really had Super Bowl thoughts, and it was
They'd bow
27
personally.
nothing, 20-3, no, but it and fans didn't like it back then. They were just, oh, good golly, they're so sick of this. And then he had a couple of years where they won 10 games and didn't get in, and then everything fell apart in 2004 when everything just went wrong from the start of training camp with Ricky gone and David Boston. And there was a one particular locker where everybody who had that locker got injured, like within a
Oof.
week of having that locker.
Yeah.
And it just completely fell apart, and Wanstead got fired. But that was that team. That was, and then what was funny was later on, fans were like, oh my goodness, we would kill for that team now.
Hey,
We would
last
go
time
for
they won a
going 10 and
playoff game,
6 now.
2001.
We were 10 and 6, fine. 11 and 5, fine. We're okay with that. We're tired of, 6 and 10, 4 and 12, 5 and 11.
7-9, yeah, it's
So,
mediocrity, yeah.
right. It's so, I think this team has potential to, be as good as they've been, in
And
a
some
long
times,
time.
yeah.
But, are they good enough to get past the Super Bowl contender in the division
The Bills, that's the question. I mean, hey.
in December
It's
there?
been some time. It's been some time since they've been competitive. If
Right.
there's any year that there'd be a changing of the tide, not saying they're gonna, overtake the division crown, but if there's any year where maybe the playing field is a little more even and we see a little more competitiveness in those games, you would think that it'd be a year like this after they've added so much talent. So,
Right.
we'll see.
And also there's the for their first time around for the first few games, I think it'll be interesting to see what McDaniel, what people think of McDaniel, what how teams scheme for McDaniel,
I mean, even at the joint practices, I'm curious to see what they do. I mean, it's the first time they're facing a new opposing team, and we're gonna get into this later. But yeah, I
right.
mean, this is the first like feel. It's the first time you're gonna be able to get a feel for like, oh, this is kind of how they would look in a real game or in a game against
Right.
some opposition.
Yeah. And it's the good thing about joint practices there. And now you can actually, well, maybe, I don't know what the rules are, hit somebody and try some stuff and see and have a feel for where you really are. It was found interesting. Tyreek Hill, what was it saying the other day? Yeah, I'm tired of X locking me down, and I gotta go, face these other people. And beat and run some stuff on them. And also the players weren't really involved in all the mess that between this was kind of front office thing,
The tampering and the accusations of tanking.
right, the energy, there's gonna be everybody there. Everybody's going up there, and everybody's interested now in these joint practices. This joint practice, you're gonna have national media there. It's gonna be a kind of an interesting energy there,
Oh, most
and
definitely.
yeah, it's it'll be again be nice to see what they, kind of what comes out. But then, do we know how they're gonna approach Saturday? Because when you have three preseason games, there's not a lot of time for you got to get. You have to have, two. You have a new offense. You have new players. They have to play. You have to play sometime, and you're probably not going to play in that last one. Or are you? I
Well,
mean,
last year, none of the starters, not none of the starters played. It'll be interesting to see how they do that with a new coach and a new
right.
scheme, a lot of new players. I mean, yeah, we'll get into, we're for sure going to get into that after the break. But I'm sure that McDaniel, I mean, he's been of the mindset like I want to like rest the vets as much. Like the vets really don't need as much of this preseason reps and even the training camp reps. But it is interesting because you think that maybe they'd want to get a couple more reps because this is a younger team than
Right.
most, and it is a new scheme. But yeah, it's really good. I mean, I'm just overall interested in how McDaniel was navigated like his first time. Hey, this is my first time covering like a first year, first time head coach. So or. Well, yeah, so I have been interested in how it's just gone about, like the daily, machinations of like running an organization. One quick thing before we take a break that I wanted to ask you about, we touched on Tyreek Hill. I'm just curious to get your thoughts, a big picture, not necessarily what he's bringing to the team, on the field, because we know he's a Pro Bowl, he's all pro, but just the swagger that he's brought. I mean, he's been talking a lot. He's got the podcast. He's trumping up Tua. He had an interesting quote when somebody asked him about the trash talk and just being confident and kind of how it rubs off on the team. And he said, quote, "I feel like it rubs off in the right way." And like you said, it rubs off on everyone. Tua has even been talking trash. So I think that's great for his confidence moving forward, going into these big games that we're about to play. I'm just like a match. I just get the thing started and everybody else just finishes it. So big picture, what do you like this? I think one thing I'll say is I think it's funny the contrasting personalities of kind of like the faces of the franchise. Tyreek Hill's new, but when you pay a guy $120 million, you're kind of making him the face of the franchise. He's brash, he's confident, he talks the talk, and he walks the walk, like he says. You have Tua, unassuming, kind of quiet. He's kind of who he his teammates will tell you that he's become more assertive, more of a leader, more vocal. But at his core, it seems like he's a very, unassuming guy, not boisterous. And then you have McDaniel, who's charismatic, but not in necessarily the boisterous way, but kind of being self-deprecating, very funny, jovial. Just how do you what do you make of Tyreek and all the talk?
By the way, does McDaniel answer the players' questions the way he answers some of y'all's questions? And do the players understand what the hell is he talking about? Like, what the
Hey,
man talking about?
I will give McDaniel credit because I was thinking about this earlier. He would never, ever shortchange you on an answer. I asked McDaniel if they had any long-term injury concerns. I think he gave me like a 90-second answer. Like he had just been like, "Nah, we're good." And he gave
I'm sort of
me
like Ted Lasso, and you're like, I'm listening to some of these answers, and I'm like, halfway through, I'm like, I have no idea what this is. He answering the question? What is he answering that question and the other questions he think you might have asked? Is he
Hey,
hearing you
he
right?
covers the
But
bases.
no,
I'll give him that.
okay, Ty, but back to Tyreek Hill. I look. This is a it's a, definitely a job, but at the end of the day, it's a game, and yes, it is entertainment. Sorry, folks, that's all it is. It's a game and it's entertainment. And I think I always think if you can run your mouth and you can back it up, makes it so much fun. And I think it makes it fun. Well, I think it makes it fun. It is contagious. It is contagious. It's I remember I was watching the Met doc the 4-part documentary on the 86 Mets that aired about a year ago on ESPN, Once Upon a Time in Queens. Bob Ojeda, the pitcher who was traded to the Mets that year from the Boston Red Sox, he said he realized, hey, it's okay to be cocky. It's okay to be it's okay to enjoy yourself in that manner, especially if you're out there backing it up and, kicking everybody's butt and, running away with the division and everything and doing your job. And I feel the same way about, if Tyreek Hill's gonna run his mouth and it gets, it gets to a feeling good and to, and, it has a positive effect on Tua and the way he approaches things, and a good feeling, and it creates a good, it can have a, it can have a very positive feeling in the locker room, and if it creates that, so be it. Good, great. I you know be you know in enjoy what you do, and if you are good at it, be proud you're good at it. If you want to. You want to run your mouth a little bit? Okay, fine. Back it up, and you back it up. Keep
But
going, keep
one thing
going.
is not necessarily Tyreek more so talking about himself, but he's bigging up Tua. He's like, Tua's
Right,
gonna
right.
sack a quarterback.
Well,
Is he?
Well, I'm sure that's by design. And I mean, and also, look, he's no fool. He sees and hears everybody for almost from the moment Tua got drafted. First it was tank for Tua, yeah, we got Tua, and then it was like, wait a minute, do we get the right
The
guy?
energy switched up real quick.
Maybe we didn't get the right guy. And do we have the right guy? Do they have the right guy? He's heard. I'm sure he heard that in Kansas City. The Dolphins had the right guy. So he comes here, and now he's like, hey, wait a minute, this is, I'm getting paid a lot of money. I'm the man, and that's going to be the guy that needs to get me the ball. So I need him to feel like,
Like
yeah,
me.
I'm the man. Yeah, that's right. I'm the man. That's right. I'm bad. That's right. Because you can't be an unconfident quarterback and be successful. You
Can't be
can't have,
unconfident athlete and be
right.
successful.
You can't have, I mean, you can have some doubts, but it works a whole lot better if you have, you just have this tremendous confidence, or you're not beaten down with doubts and you're not riddled with doubts because everybody else has been questioning you and your performance has been, good, but it hasn't earned the total seal of approval. So, Tyreek's got to talk him up. He got to make him feel like, yeah, I can hit that window. Yeah, I can. It's like the dude in the tiger in the circus movies, the circus animated circus movies. The oh gosh, the one with Chris Rock. The second one, they had a tiger who like he always could get through this like dive through a keyhole. And it was like, yeah, it was always impossible, but you knew you could do it. You did it. And he's got to have Tua feeling like that, and that he can hit. Okay, you can hit that pass. And okay, you tried it that time and it didn't work, or it got picked off. Fine. We're gonna do it again. And you gotta hit it this time. Because that's another thing. If you're going to be a top-level quarterback in this league, unless you're Aaron Rodgers, you're gonna throw some interceptions. And you're gonna throw some. You're gonna make a misread. But you're gonna throw some interceptions. You're gonna try some things that don't work. And thing is, you gotta come back and try it again. So yeah, Tyreek. Yeah, definitely. He's trying to pump up Tua as much as anybody. Because he wants the ball.
He can't
He
get the
wants the
ball.
other
Two is
dudes.
not two is not right. So
Yeah,
I
he
get
wants the
that.
other dudes to get the ball, so they get some attention, and he wants it all to work so that he can have the money and the rings too, because that's what he's used to.
That's fair. That's fair. And to the point, it hasn't been anything malicious. He hasn't, said anything, egregious in terms of, calling people out. And it seems like McDaniel has welcomed his personality. So that's good to see as well. We're going to take a short break, but when we come back on the other side of things, we're going to get into joint practices. The Dolphins holding two practices with Tampa amid this tampering news with Tom Brady. David alluded to it. It's gonna be a fun time up north. So stay locked with us, and we're gonna discuss that.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house, everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
What's going on, everybody? Still here on the Dolphins in Depth podcast with David, talking all things Dolphins. And David, like I said, so the Dolphins are starting a pair of joint practices Wednesday, Thursday, ahead of their preseason opener against the Buccaneers. And you alluded to it on the first half of the podcast, but it's not your average joint practice, given this tampering news that came down last week in terms of the NFL's finding and discipline of the Dolphins. But just big picture, I'm not sure when Brady talks, if he'll speak to reporters. But just what goes into your mind when you think about these joint practices, which you kind of got your eyes out for?
I look for the, I don't know what the line play situation will be, how much contact there will be. But I look, it's one of the things I think you gotta look for that. And obviously look to see, how the coordination works with, the quarterback and his receivers against a defense that is somebody else. That is, hasn't seen them. Maybe, will maybe play some schemes that they haven't seen. I mean, they play a similar style, but the exact expression of that style is a little different. And so we'll see how that works. And of course, you want to see how the defense looks against, even though Brady doesn't have Gronk anymore. But he's still
Still
got
Brady, though.
he's
Still
pretty yeah
Brady.
still he's still Brady, and still has a pretty good set of receivers there. Still a really good set of receivers there. So yeah, you want to see how that happens. I'd like to see how well the Dolphins cover the tight end. I think that's another question with the you
The
have with the
linebackers,
linebacking
yeah.
core that so yeah, that's pretty much it. Also, you want to see who gets into a fight.
I was just
Want to
thinking
see.
that, it's been kind of, it's been pretty peaceful. I think the last 2 days of practice, we did see a couple shoves here and there, but nothing crazy. You hear about some teams and they having brawls and throwing
Yeah.
fights.
Out in
It's
San
been
Francisco,
pretty good.
out in San Francisco, the guy said, "We got to stop fighting because they had started getting concussions and stuff."
They got the guardian caps too, man. They still throwing haymakers, but
Yeah.
it's been pretty peaceful, peaceful in Miami so far. Nothing crazy. So I was thinking that like there's something
Yeah.
start to pop off because some of
Yeah.
these Christian Wilkins, he's an agitator. He gets on people's nerves. So I was thinking about that in the back of my head. One thing that you mentioned this kind of off. You mentioned it just briefly, but also before we started recording was just like the contact. I mean, we haven't seen a lot of like full live tackle. I haven't seen any full live tackling. Obviously, it's a different day where there's not 2-a-days of shorter practices. I mean, McDaniel's been having like 90-minute practices. That's like a staple of his sessions where they're like 90-minute get in, get out, but get some good work in. So we haven't really seen guys like really like get hit at all. Obviously, you want to protect your guys. But that's, I mean, you do need to get, kind of like get the calluses, so to speak. I mean, obviously there's the preseason for that. But still, even in practice, you want to at least, get them used to like the feel of getting hit. The last thing that I'm looking out for, is just who even does practice. I mean, you mentioned it, like how much do the vets really need, training camp or preseason? I think they need it to an extent. But you even see with McDaniel, I mean, he's keeping a lot of these guys, on maintenance programs. Like Xavien Howard has been doing one-on-one drills, and then he practices on every like one every five, team rep when they're doing 11 on 11 stuff. Teron Armstead, he's been in and out of the lineup just for maintenance program stuff. Sony Michel, I haven't really seen him. Raheem Mostert, he's coming back from a knee injury. So I'm curious to see like which one of these, how many of these guys actually like participate in the joint practices. Cause again, we talked about this before, like how much are these guys going to play in the preseason? I tend to believe that they're not going to play a ton just because it's preseason. You want to protect those guys. The preseason is becoming like just like a complete audition for the roster guys, for the roster bubble guys. I mean, you don't even see like a lot of times like guys like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady don't even take a snap in the preseason. And obviously, this is a younger team, but even for those vets, like how much do they practice these next 2 days? Because I would think that if they're not in preseason games, this is like their preseason essentially. So that's going to be interesting to see. I mean, I hope some of these vets play, and or at least they practice, because I think that we'll get a better look. It's tough to be like, oh, this is how good the team is if we don't see Xavien Howard there every play or Teron Armstead. So hopefully these guys can participate in like more than a limited capacity that we've seen the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, I you should hope they I think they participate more. I don't think Yeah, Brady, Rodgers, you know, I'm sure there are others who, you know, preseason, they don't need preseason games. You know, they are, you know, it's more valuable to rest them, give, you know, just get them in, get them flowing, you know, and then, okay, thank you very much, done. But most guys aren't at that level at their position.
Which is fair, which is fair. And the Dolphins are the young
And
team too.
I just, yeah, I think you need, you know, I think they need game time. I think they need, because I think the game, I think the jump from, you know, the pace, speed, and whatever of the of practices, even joint practices, to a game, a real NFL, this counts and you can be cut game. That's a massive jump, even if you've been in the league for a while. And yeah, I think you want to make sure, I think there needs to be a little bridge there, and there needs to be a bridge of playing in preseason, taking part in these joint practices, because it just seems like a large leap. I mean, and you know, hey, maybe they do it, maybe it works out, and you know, it and that's the trend. And we really, you know, we don't see vets in pre we you know, a few years we might not see vets in preseason games, period, which you know, would which makes the preseason games even more worthless to as to pay for. But I just think you for most players you kind of want to have that move
You want
steadily
to get them,
into
you want to
that.
get them in the groove of the season before the
And
games really start.
because it's too easy to get into, you know, get into the hot game, and then when things are hot and suddenly you make your, you know, that decision, you know, you got to make it just that, you know, half second faster, and you're not ready for that. And so, you know, things go bad, passes bounce off hands, they go behind you, you don't pick up the block, you know, your quarterback gets killed, you know, whatever. And then you'll be going, ooh, maybe
Should have got a couple more reps, yeah.
a couple more preseason games, and he might have recognized that twist. You know? So
Yeah, there's
that
definitely value to some extent for all, you know, whether you're a first year guy or a 10-year guy. And that's definitely something that's going to be interesting to watch. Exactly, you know, like I said, McDaniel has been kind of monitoring the health and, you know, the reps for the veteran guys. But still, you know, it's fun to watch these joint practices go up against another team. So, like I said, I hope some of these vets can participate in that. But that brings us to the end of another edition of the Dolphins in Depth podcast. The next time we record, we will have an actual football game. I know David said they're a little worthless, but some stuff to gleam there.
Oh, yeah.
And and we'll be back next week to discuss all that and more. We'll also have you covered every day of joint practice and the preseason game at Miami Herald, miamiherald.com. So definitely check that out and stay locked in.
Subscribe.
Sir, subscribe. Until then, you guys take care.
I gotta
See ya.
eat.
Bye.